Judges 16, verses 1 through 3. Today's message is playing games. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low to midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. In Greek mythology, there was a certain king's son named Achilles. He was the greatest. He was the bravest. He was the most handsome warrior of the king's army. One of the tales about his childhood tells how the young Achilles was dipped by his mother, held by his heel in the waters of the river Styx. Through the magic power of the water, Achilles became invincible in every part except his heel by which his mother had held him. The small part that was untouched by water was his vulnerable spot. The story gives us the term Achilles' heel, which means our greatest point of vulnerability, the point that we are the weakest. It was in the heel that Achilles, who they thought was invincible, in the heel he was struck by an arrow and he was killed. Each one of us has an Achilles heel, a vulnerable area in our walk with God. For some, it may be money. For some, it may be ambition. For some, it may be fame. For some, it may be popularity or pride or selfishness. Or maybe I missed you. In Romans 1, Paul includes us, all of us. In Romans 1, in verse 29 through 30, he shows the Achilles heel of every human, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Have I touched your Achilles heel yet? Have I touched that spot that you are vulnerable? For Samson, his weakness was his sensuality. He had a passion for sensual, seductive women. The question today is, what is your Achilles heel? What is your weak point? Not your strong point, your weak point. As Achilles found out, as Samson found out, if you continue to play games with it, whatever that Achilles heel is, just as Samson, it will destroy you. If you continue to play with sin, it will lead to your destruction. You are not to think and act like the world. You are to protect your eyes from what enters. You are not to spend most of your time with the world system and with its ways. We are not to waste the precious time and talents and gifts and blessings that God has given us. Samson's life was a waste. You need not to fall as Samson did. You are able by God's power to fulfill the calling that God has on your life. If you are a believer, the scripture says that you have died to sin. You have been raised to newness of life. That you have been freed from sin. Alive to God under the dominion of grace indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There is no reason for you to take an arrow to your foot and be destroyed. But Samson, he never learned that lesson. Samson kept sinning. He kept going down to the wrong location. In Judges 16, verse 1, it says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and he went into her. He kept going to the wrong location. He kept going to the wrong place. He kept going to the wrong value system. He kept going to the world. Gaza was the center of pagan worship. That is where the Philistines worshiped Dagon. But Samson, rather than being with the people of God, being about the things of God, he kept going down to Gaza. How many of us, we keep going down to the world? Samson went. He went to the world. How many of you go to the world? When you go to the world and then he saw a harlot, you see the world system, you see the things of the world, and you are attracted by them. The world system is committed to at least four major objectives, which I can summarize in four words. See if any of these four would be your Achilles heel. The world system is characterized by fortune. It's characterized by fame. It's characterized by power. And it's characterized by pleasure. First and foremost, fortune is characterized by money. The world system is driven by money. It feeds on materialism. Is that your Achilles heel? Samson went down to Gaza. Have you gone down to CDs, money market accounts, Wall Street, your job, your career? Have you gone down to money, to fortune, to mammon? The world system, as I said, is driven by it. The second thing characterizes the world system is fame. That's another word for popularity. Fame is the longing to be known, to be someone in someone else's eyes. You want people to think well of you. You care what people say about you. You care to be lifted up, for people to say, "Oh, what a wonderful house, what a wonderful car, what wonderful children, what a wonderful job, just what a wonderful individual that you are." And Christians are notorious for wanting to keep their popularity, in the sense you won't tell your brother or your sister about their sin. Preachers are notorious for being men pleasers because they seek popularity, so they won't give you the hard truth. So the world is characterized by fame. It's characterized by money. It's also characterized, third, by power. That this is having influencing, maintaining control over individuals or groups or companies or whatever. It is the desire to manipulate and maneuver others to do something for one's own benefit, to have power over other people. Maybe you say, "I'm not the boss of a company. I'm not the head of a church. I'm not this. I'm not that." But do you seek control in your marriage? Do you seek to manipulate your spouse? Do you seek to maintain control over your brothers and your sisters? Did we come across that Achilles heel yet? Or fourth, the world system is characterized by pleasure. By pleasure, at its basic level, pleasure has to do with fulfilling one's sensual desires. It's the same mindset that's behind the slogan, "If it feels good, do it." That's what's behind the slogan, you deserve it. You deserve a break today. You're more than worthwhile to get this product. That's what drives it. Samson destroyed his life over pleasure and over his pride. John warns us about going down to Gaza. Samson went to Gaza. The Apostle John says, don't go down to Gaza. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. He warns us what's down in Gaza. He tells us in verses 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. See, the sexuality, the love of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Samson went down to Gaza and he saw the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Are your affections for Christ or are your affections for the world? What characterizes your life? Is it the world or is it Jesus Christ? Is it love of the world or love of the Father? Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 10, this is the way his children are to be. This is to characterize your life. Is this the desire of your life? Matthew 10, verses 37 through 39. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You love your mother or your father more than Jesus Christ? He said, you're not worthy of him. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You love that son or that daughter that's sitting next to you right now? He says, you're not worthy of him. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You hate that cross Jesus Christ keeps bringing in your life? You hate that? Verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You will not find your life until you lose your life. The problem you can't find your life is because you keep trying to hold on to your life. That was Samson's problem. He was born a prophet, born a Nazarite, set apart for Almighty God, and he spent all of his life pursuing the world. He went to Gaza and he saw the harlot. Satan uses the world system to entice you. In John, it says, the lust of the flesh, Samson saw. He saw the picture. He saw the magazine. He saw the seductive clothes. He saw the bright lights. He saw the gold. He saw. How many of you see the baubles, the gold, the jewelry, the clothes, the houses, all the things the world has to offer? And you go, let me see, a cross or all of that? Only somebody indwelt by the Holy Spirit is going to say, give me the cross. You want to know if you're a pagan? You love the world or do you love the cross? Not that you ain't going to struggle, but what is your desire? Where is your mind when you get up in the morning? Is your mind in the morning, I'm going to serve Christ today, I'm going to love God today, I'm going to... Or is it, I'm going to make more money, I'm going to get more stuff, I'm going to lust more, I'm going to fornicate more. And it doesn't have to be apart from your eyes, because Christ said, if you've done it with your eyes, you wouldn't have to be as Samson did and go in. It's with your eyes and with your heart. He saw the lust of the flesh, Samson saw. Look at an individual who also saw, that walked by sight. Turn to Joshua 7. And look how deadly this could be. And not only to yourself, but to those around you. Joshua 7, verse 20 through 26. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw, as Samson saw, well, here's Achan. When I saw among the spoils, see? Do you see among the spoils? A beautiful Babylonian garment. So he loved the clothes. 200 shekels of silver. He loved the money. And a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. Well, I coveted them. I desired them. Commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet anything of thy neighbor's goods. I saw the clothes. I saw the money. I coveted them and I took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth and in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent and there it was hidden in the tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, notice, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. The Lord takes very seriously the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Not only was Achan destroyed, but his whole family was destroyed as a result of Achan's saw. He saw, he went, he coveted, and he took. The same thing that Samson does in our text. Samson saw, just as you see, just as you want. Samson went, Samson saw, and then it says Samson went in, or as the NIV says, he went in to spend the night. That's where you spend the majority of your time, in Gaza. In Gaza, desiring what is in Gaza. He went, he saw, and then he spent. He spent this time there. He spent this talents there. He spent his energies there. Brothers and sisters, sin deceives. Sin deceives. And it tells you no one will see. No one will know. No one will discover. Achan, though, got caught. Samson got caught. And you and I, brothers and sisters, will get caught. Judges 16:2 tells us, when the Gazites were told, when the enemies of God were told, Samson has come here. Don't worry, all those enemies are yours. All those enemies against the children of God, they're saying, so-and-so's here. So-and-so has come here. That child of God has come here. They surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. They surround the place. Sin is like a snake. Sin is like a boa constrictor. It wraps around you. And then eventually it crushes you. It eventually kills you. It eventually destroys you. Sin robs you mentally. It robs you emotionally. It robs you physically. It robs you spiritually. Sin robs you of your freedom, of your joy, and of your fulfillment. And sin tells you just the opposite. Do this, and you will find happiness. God says, no, pick up your cross, and you will find happiness. Notice how the enemy works. Notice in Judges 16, verse 2, when the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him. Lay in wait. The enemy lays in wait. The enemy is laying in wait with you. He's quiet. He's patient. He's as a predator. Just waiting. Just waiting. Laying in wait all night. Waiting for his prey. The scripture describes him as a fowler. One that hunts wild birds. Turn to Psalm 91:3. He has the trap set for you. 91:3, Psalms. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. There's a snare. There's a trap set for those that would go down to Gaza. Proverbs 6:5 tells us. Deliver yourself like a gazelle. You're to flee from sin. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. The hunter is lying in wait all night for you and saying, we will kill you in the morning. In the morning. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Your foot is right there in the bear's trap. And it's just waiting to snap. He sets the trap. Sin is patient, wrapping its fingers of death around you. And you know what it usually says? Turn to Numbers 32. It usually says to those that go down to Gaza, those that see, those that go in, this is what the sin usually says. Numbers 32, verse 23. But if you do not do so, then take note, for you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Sin tells you just the opposite. It's a little thing. Don't worry about it. You've always been in bondage to it. Don't worry about it. And the Lord, He understands in your case. You know, you're shacking up two people, shacking up outside of marriage. The Lord understands. The Lord understands about that. You're coveting this, you're coveting that, you're doing this, you're doing that. The Lord understands that. And the whole time, He's just setting you up. Just because the trap hasn't gone off doesn't mean that your foot is not right in it. Judges 16:1 starts off. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. No, for sure, that it starts with Samson enjoying the temporary pleasures of a harlot. You're going down to Gaza. You will enjoy the temporary pleasures of the world. But notice in Judges 16 that though he lay in the harlot's bed and enjoyed the pleasures thereof, the end thereof we see in verses 20 and 21. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. See? I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. This sin has never caused problems before. This sin, God has never chastised me before. See, I will shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze feathers and he became a grinder in the prison. I bet you Samson wished that somebody had come to him and told him the truth. I bet you he wished that somebody didn't come alongside him and tickle his ears and tell him, you know, it's okay, keep presuming upon the grace of God. It'll be well with you. Enjoyed the pleasures of the harlot time and time and time and time again. And brothers and sisters, keep a word in your mind in the Bible, and that's the word suddenly. Suddenly. Samson kept playing with his sin, presuming upon the grace of God. After all, I am a prophet of God. I've been set to deliver the people of God. I pray, I witness, I evangelize, I serve Him, I go to church, and I even give. But I got this other thing going on here. Presuming upon the grace of God. And in the end, in prison, eyes gouged out, and he never leaves prison. He dies. Granted, there's a victory, but that'll be in the next message. But he died as a result in the end of all his sin. Sin made no move during the night. The enemy saying at dawn we will kill him. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, as I pointed out numerous times, we see God once again in his great mercy to Samson. Look at verse 3 of Judges 16. Goes to Gaza, sees the harlot, goes into her. The enemies, they gathered around, lay in wait, quiet all night, saying we'll kill him in the morning. And Samson lay low to midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate. We'll get into that. But notice, Samson lay there only to midnight. God causes Samson to get up. Once again, it's midnight. It's midnight with many people here today. It's midnight. You went down to Gaza your whole Christian life. You're going down to Gaza and you're spending most of your time in Gaza and the enemy is waiting to kill you. And God Almighty, by His grace, by His tender mercies, once again is waking you up and shaking you going, it's midnight! Get out of here! It's midnight. Flee. Flee from your enemies. It's midnight. God could have left Samson asleep. God could have caused him to fall into even a deeper sleep until the enemies come. But once again, as I said to you many times, the book of Judges is about the grace of God. The book of Judges is about people that presume upon the grace of God. People who do what is right in their own eyes when God continually tells them what is right. But time and time again, they say, no, but I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to do this my way. So here's God once again, in His great mercy, waking him up at midnight. And what does Samson do? Look at verse 3 of Judges 16. Samson lay low at midnight, then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. What does Samson do? He takes the gifts that God has given him and uses them for his own pleasure, for his own enjoyment, for his own sense of humor. For his own sense of humor, his own pride. In 1 John, we saw the pride of life, the pride of flesh, the pride of eyes, and the pride of life. He takes the gifts of God, the strength that God has given him. Samson was selfish, he was a lawbreaker, he was apathetic to the things of God, he made a mockery of his vow as a Nazarite, as a set apart one. And he takes the gift of the strength of God, and what does he do? Instead of using the strength given him by God for God's purposes, he got up, he took hold of the city gate together with its post, tears them loose, lifts them on his shoulders, and carries them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it's hard to believe, but most commentators agree that Hebron is 38 miles away. Quite an amazing feat of the strength of God. But what was the purpose of it? You find nowhere in the text that Samson prayed. You don't find nowhere that it says that the Spirit came upon him. In other places, we saw that the Spirit came upon him. We have Samson, as you remember, the riddler. He likes to play games. I could have just imagined him chuckling, carrying the gate. And the gate was like this. For you that are listening, put your fingers connected with each other. The gates of the city was like this, and all the men in the city lived in those little pieces that I'm showing you right now. And if the Bible is not supernatural to tell a story like that, that he carries that gate 38 miles to the hill in front of Hebron, but for his own pleasure. God didn't tell him to do it. He didn't pray about it. The Spirit of the Lord didn't come upon him. With Samson, with as many people, I would seriously ask the question, where is the fear of God? Where is the fear of God? Obviously, Samson, there's no fear of God. He continually, throughout the whole story, keeps running to sin. And if you are here today and have been playing with God and His gifts, read the story closely and see what happens to Samson. And keep on deceiving yourself and lying to yourself that that is true about Samson. He kept sinning. He was destroyed, but that won't happen to me. And I'm exhorting you and admonishing you to repentance, because there's another character in the Scripture that took the gifts of God and wasted them and used them and abused them, but he had a different attitude than Samson. So if you're here today, I would beg with you and plead with you that you would take heed to this second character that we're going to look at. Samson wasted his gifts that God had given him. I would ask you to turn over to Luke 15. And we see another fella that was gifted, that was called, that knew the things of the Lord. But he was consumed by what he saw, by what he lusted after. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Luke 15, verse 11 through 24 tells us a different story than Samson's. Alike in some ways, but in the conclusion, much different. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Luke 15, verse 11 through 24. The same man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The same exact thing that Samson did. He took the gifts of God, wasted them. Took his inheritance, wasted it. He wanted to go down to the world. He gathered all together. He journeyed to a far country. He saw the bright lights also, this boy we're looking at here. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent them into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and his father had compassion on him, and he ran to him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf for him and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Two people, two children of Israel, two sons of Israel. This person wasted all the father had given him, just as Samson did. But he came to his senses. Samson never came to his senses. The prodigal son came to his senses. He repented. Samson never repented. He returns to his father. Samson never returns to his father. And the one that repented and returned to his father, he celebrated. And Samson would not repent. He stayed stiff-necked. He wouldn't go back to his father. So he went to prison, had his eyes gouged out, and his name is to this day used in infamy. Samson and the whore. That's what Samson is known as. And the prodigal son is told all over to those that have been brokenhearted. Those that have insisted for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years to do their own thing. And God says, no, my tender mercies are new every day. If you would but come home, I would be glad to run out and to greet you and to gather you and to restore you and to not only give you the gifts that you had, I'll give you even more gifts. You know why? Because now I can really use you. Because you learned your lesson. You learned the lesson of life. And the lesson of life is this, that the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. And if you persist in your love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, there is no fear of God. You do not fear God. If you feared God, you would stop. You would know that in the end, your eyes are gouged out, and you go to prison, and you die. You have two characters before you. One rebel returns, repents, and goes to a celebration. The other keeps playing games with the world, and he winds up in prison and eventually to his death. I will leave you with this illustration. The Eskimos in North Alaska, until recently, they lived as they had for 500 years. All of their livelihood came from the polar bear. The meat was their food, the meat of the polar bear. Their fur, the fur of the polar bear, was their clothing. The fat they used to cook, the bones and the teeth were used to make tools and other implements. Considering the size and the strength, though, of the polar bear, they needed a way to trap him. So they developed an ingenious way. What they would first do to catch the polar bear was they would kill a little seal. They would take that seal and drag a trail of blood along the ice, leading to a central location. What they would do there, they would take a dagger with a 2-foot long handle, and they would plunge it into the ice with the 2-foot dagger sticking up. It was a double-edged blade, and upon that blade, they would put the carcass of the little seal. Before long, the polar bear would pick up the scent of the trail of blood, and he'd start to sniff it, and he would start to lick it, and he would easily find the meat. There he would be, after he found the little seal, devouring the delicacy very quickly. The Eskimos were smart enough to know never to use a large animal, how to use this small little seal. Never to give him too much meat. Just enough to keep him hungry. Just enough to keep him wanting more of it. So what would happen? The polar bear, in his incredible hunger, he would eat the seal completely. And as a little child licks the spoon after mom or dad bakes a cake, any of you all ever did that? Lick the spoon? They make a cake, and you take the spoon and you keep licking at the spoon? The polar bear, after he finished the seal, he would keep licking. He would keep licking at the blood that was on the blade over and over again because of his lust. Because of the lust of the meat, the lust of the blood. The two-edged blade was sticking up out of the ground with the seal's blood on it. And he couldn't control himself. So he would keep licking away at the blade. But what happened at some point, you who would keep on playing with sin, you who would keep on going to Gaza and seeing and spending with, the more he licked, what would happen? The more he got. But at some point, he failed to realize that he was starting to lick his own blood. And the lust of it eventually killed him because he eventually bled to death. The lust of that meat, the lust of that blood, the lust of what he wanted, eventually killed him. He didn't even know it. He kept licking at the blade. Little did he know, he was licking his own blood. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, your love of the world will eventually destroy you as it did Samson. The prodigal repented, and Samson didn't. Before you, once again, you have before you the prodigal, and you have Samson. The prodigal went home, and don't say, I can't go home, the father don't love me, the father's mad at me, the father. The father ran out to greet the son. See, I don't care how wicked you've been, how far you've fallen, if you've been almost at the last lick of the blades. The prodigal came to his senses and said, you know what? I have a loving father. You know what? God has been good to me. I have been an absolute dope. I've played the fool. I've turned myself over for all of these years. But I've heard about a good God that will run out and greet me and bring me home and have a celebration and put the best robe on me and put the best ring on me and restore me and give me all the gifts, give me all that I wasted. Or you could be like Samson, that in the end, his eyes are gouged out. He goes to prison as a grinder, and in the end, he dies along with all the other Philistines. Two people before you today, life and death, fulfillment of your calling, wasted life. And that's for children of God. If you're here today, and you're not a child of God, there's no returning to the Father. He's not your Father. The Scripture says that your Father is Satan. That until you come to Jesus Christ, it says that you are of your Father, the devil, apart from coming to Jesus Christ. If you come to Jesus Christ, then you could become His Son, and these things could even be true of you. This is more so for the believer that has wasted his life, her life, pursuing this world, who continually goes down to Gaza and you're spent. You spend your life in Gaza. And we will see what happens to those that dwell in Gaza in the next message also.